whenever I hear this gospel lesson, it occurs in other places too. It makes me wonder whether, if Jesus said to me, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me, it makes me wonder whether I could do it. I kind of enjoy living in that hypothetical place where I allow myself to wonder, could I do that? I mean, I know I have four children and a spouse, and I can't do that. But if things were different, could I do that? This man comes to Jesus, and I hear in him some desperation. He has clearly done everything he can do. He's kept all the laws, all the expectations. He's been the kind of son that would make a mother proud. And yet something's missing. And so he comes to Jesus and says, tell me, good teacher, what I need to do. And Jesus rehearses for him all the things he already knows. But he says, that's not enough. Something's missing. I need something else. And Jesus looks at him and loves him and tells him to sell all that he has. Sometimes preachers like me get accused of talking about money too much. Somebody sent me an email the other day telling me that that's all I ever talk about. That might be right. And I know that there are plenty of preachers out there who are in it for themselves, who when their revenues go up, their income goes up. It doesn't quite work that way at St. John's, and I'm glad for that, actually. But I talk about money a lot because money, I think, is often the thing that stands between us and God. Not always, but often that thing. If Jesus looked at us, our congregation, and sort of stared into the depths of our soul and identified that one thing that seemed to be getting in the way of our discipleship, I bet for most of the people at St. John's, it would be money. Because money is power, right? Yet going to heaven means giving up power. Money is self-reliance. Of course, going to heaven is about depending on God instead of ourselves. And money is control, and giving up control is part of how we find what it means to be loved by God fully. Most of us can find that balance, the balance in our own life between giving away and keeping for ourselves, that kind of balance that shifts our focus away from ourselves into God, which is to say that very few people are really called to sell all that they have. Most of us are able to follow Jesus and still live a comfortable life because we find that balance where possessions no longer dominate us. Worry about whether we have enough no longer controls us. Greed no longer infects us. But some people can't seem to find that balance. And today we celebrate Saint Antony, an Egyptian saint from the 4th century, maybe late 3rd century, early 4th century. Saint Antony was the first really monastic. He, like many of those ancient monks that came after him, his parents died, and he found himself a pretty wealthy man. He went to church one day and heard this gospel lesson from Mark about selling all that he had, and he heard Jesus speaking to him, sell all that you have, and so he went and sold. He gave away his family's estate and sold most of his possessions, and six months later, it still wasn't enough. There was still something missing, and so he heard that voice again after some meditation. I meant everything, Jesus said, and so he did. He sold everything he had. He had a sister he was responsible for. He put her in a convent. And he went out in the desert and lived in the desert, and he battled demons and was ministered to by the angels in some dramatic ways. And for Antony, possessions of any kind were what stood in the way of his relationship with God, and so he left them all behind. Not many of us have that call, but I wonder what it is. I wonder what that call is for me. I wonder what the call is for you. I wonder what it means for Jesus to say you lack one thing. When I was in Montgomery, there was a woman there who talked to me about her life. She was in her 80s, and she still remembered being a young 20-year-old, and she felt really clearly God calling her to be a missionary in Africa. And she's telling me this 60 or so years after the fact, and she still felt remorse in her heart because she didn't answer that call. She had gotten married, she had children, she had a lovely family, she had a wonderful life, and still, reflecting on it all, she knew that something was missing. She talked about how she just didn't have the courage to do it. She knew it was the right thing to do, and she couldn't do it. And she, I wouldn't say she regretted her life ever since, but she kind of recognized that something was missing and that it would always be missing. And part of my journey with her was to discover that I couldn't fix it, that that's just the way it was. But I wonder whether sort of that meditation that she did, a little like Antony's meditation, kind of revealed for her that hole that otherwise couldn't be filled, that thing that was missing, the same thing that brought that young man to Jesus. And I wonder if the path to salvation is really just about finding that hole, acknowledging that hole, whatever that hole is, whatever that thing that Jesus looks inside of us and sees. I think there's something about discovering that missing piece and coming to Jesus and saying, something's missing and I don't have the strength to do anything about it. I don't know what Jesus would really whisper to me. I don't know what it is that he would ask me to give up, family or friends or ministry or career or home or money or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But I feel pretty sure that when he asked me, I wouldn't be able to get rid of it. I wouldn't be able to give it up. I like the fact that today on St. Anthony's Day, we don't hear what happened to the man. We kind of know how the story ends, that he goes away grieved. We don't get that in the reading. We stop short. We stop just short of Jesus' invitation, which kind of allows me to imagine how the story might fill out beyond the gospel text. That maybe this man spent the rest of his life struggling with that, wrestling with it, but wrestling with it in a way that helped him shift his priorities to where actually possessions weren't the thing that stood in the way. Maybe he found what it meant to follow Jesus, even if he didn't sell all of his things. Or maybe he did sell them all. I don't know. And my invitation today, what I hear Jesus whispering to me, is what's that piece that you can't fix on your own? And whatever it is, come to God and say, here it is. I can't do it. I need help. And I think acknowledging that hole, sort of looking into that missing piece and praying into that piece is how we find what it means to follow Jesus fully. At least that's how it feels to me today.